Hello and welcome to the Jim Baker Family Show. Coming to you from the village of Morningside, USA, snuggled in the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Today, our special guest is End Time prophecy teacher, editor of End Time magazine, and host of the End Time Show TV and radio program, Reverend Dave Robbins. Our co-host today is Maricela Woodall. And now, live from Gray Street at Morningside, USA, here's your host, Ricky Baker.
Hello, you're watching Jim Baker's PTL Television Network. We're honored that you tuned in with us today. You are not going to want to touch that dial. We have an exciting program for you. Now, the PTL Television Network has been booming. I'll tell you right now, people have tried to shut us down, demonetize us, take us off. They've taken us off, brought us back on, taken us off again.
Right,
but
Ricky,
the gospel of Jesus Christ is continuing to be preached around the world.
Amen.
We will never compromise the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because there is only one way to heaven, believer. Amen. And I want to encourage you today. You're watching today and maybe you feel like, you know what? I've done too much for the sacrifice to cover me. I'll tell you right now, that is a lie from the devil.
Amen.
The cross's blood that was shed by Jesus Christ is good enough to cover all iniquity,
Amen.
All sin.
Yes.
Just jump in. There's somebody watching saying, you're saying, hey, I don't want to jump into the living waters. I may pollute them, but I'm going to tell you right now, brother and sister, you do not pollute the living water. The living water purifies and sanctifies you.
That's right.
So come back into the family of Jesus Christ.
Come on.
If you're not a believer, today is the day. There's never been a better time to give your life to Jesus Christ than right now. And if you're saying, hey, I've been walking the fence, I want to let you know right now, we don't mince our words here at the PTL Television Network. The fence belongs to the devil. You're either hot or you're cold.
Come on.
Come back into the fullness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's what I love about the PTL Television Network is we do not have to censor the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's right, Ricky. And we want everyone to have an opportunity. Listen, every single month we are adding, you know, the one thing that our dad, Pastor Jim and Lori Baker, he was called 20 years ago, he was called to build the PTL, the Voice of the Prophets. That is a platform that cannot be censored, that will not be censored, that is not ashamed of preaching the full gospel of Jesus. But he had a specific goal, a vision. He said, my vision is to find the known and the unknown prophets.
Amen.
Those who have not been given an opportunity to speak what God is doing. And if there's ever been a time for us to need the prophets, it is right now.
We're
living in a world, there's so much, there's not one person who cannot deny that the end times, the book of Revelation is being unfolded
right
in front of our eyes.
That's
and so this is the time for the PTL Television Network. We want you to be able to watch all the shows that are on the PTL Network by going to our website. That's ptlnetwork.com. You can watch their live stream. We've added new streaming platforms. There's Roku, Apple TV. We have all the different cable systems throughout the United States that are available. But the best way that you can connect with the PTL Television Network is by going to our website. That's ptlnetwork.com.
That's right. Yeah. And you know, I absolutely love about kingdom economics. You know, there is such thing as kingdom economics where the devil thinks he has stolen a platform from us.
That's
it has
right.
been returned sevenfold.
Amen.
Every single
Amen.
Time they have tried to take us off, there has been new networks added, new shows added,
right.
and we will continue to live by those kingdom economics. Why? Because God is good and only does good. And that's for you today, believer.
Man.
You know, Pastor Jim Baker said, we're going to bring the prophets known and unknown.
That's right.
And today's guest needs no introduction, but I'm going to do it anyways. We have to introduce. We have Reverend Dave Robbins here with us. He's
Woo!
The son-in-law of the late Irvin Baxter, End Times prophecy teacher, editor of the End Time magazine, and host of the End Times TV and radio program. The End Time Show can be seen here on the PTL Television Network as well. Reverend, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Amen.
God bless you. You know, I can't imagine a world where people don't know who Reverend Dave Robbins is. But for those who don't know, give us a little backstory. Who is Reverend Dave Robbins?
Well, you know, Ricky, I'm an old farm boy from Indiana.
Amen.
And I worked out in construction for 20 years. And I was raised in my father-in-law. Most people would know Irvin Baxter, who headed End Time Ministries for several decades. And I worked out in construction for 20 years. One day he came to me and he said, you know, Dave, he said, I feel like it's God's will. He was a very spirit-led man.
Yes.
Amen. Yes.
And he said, I feel like it's God's will you come to work at End Time at the ministry. And I said, what am I going to do at End Time? I'm ministry-minded. You know, I'm a builder. And he said, I don't know. But he said, I've been praying and I think it's God's will you come to End Time.
Amen.
Well, I drove straight back to work that day. I was at his house eating lunch. I went straight back to work that day and quit.
Amen.
And
that's
he
faith.
And yeah, I just said, hey, if it, I know the guy's spirit led,
that's right.
And I'm going to do it. So I went back and quit, and I called him, and I said, I just quit my job, and I'm ready to come to End Time.
Wow.
So I was like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
And over the years, God pulled me into teaching Bible studies. Once I started teaching Bible studies, my entire walk with God changed. It was kind of stunted. But once I started teaching Bible studies, and I quit taking in and started giving out.
That's right. Yeah.
There's something in a Christian's
that's
life
right.
when you can become a dead sea when you're always taking in, but you're not
that's
giving
right.
out.
That's right.
Once I started teaching Bible studies and started winning people to God, pulling people out of Satan's kingdom and putting them in God's kingdom,
amen.
Everything changed with my walk with God, and God started pulling me into writing, and I eventually started doing radio programs and TV programs and things like that, and ended up where I didn't know, but my father-in-law passed away November 3rd, 2020.
Right.
But God had prepared our entire family just to keep on rolling with this.
That's
and
right.
our
Amen.
Ministry never took a dip.
Amen.
Praise God.
God has supplied every need, and it's been awesome. So that's what brought me to where I'm at today. And God has certainly blessed us all along the way, and he's blessing us today.
Amen. You know, the late Urban Baxter is a friend to the PTL Television Network. Pastor Jim, I would feel like 5 times out of 10, we'd walk in the house, Urban Baxter was on the television.
Exactly.
I said, Ricky, come sit down and watch this with me.
Yes.
He absolutely loved him, and I want you to know that as an absolute friend. And End Times Ministry is a friend to the PTL Television Network.
Thank you.
We fully support the mission.
Thank you.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How did you find the courage to go live on the day that the late Urban Baxter passed away?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly what happened. The day he passed, my wife and I and my brother and sister-in-law were there when he passed. And I stood in the hospital room looking at him, and I thought, God perform a miracle, bring him back to life or something.
Amen.
Because I thought if anybody makes it to the rapture, it would be Urban Baxter.
Amen.
And but then I realized that's not going to happen. When I walked in, the lady said, all right, folks, I hate to do this, but I've got to shut all these machines off.
Wow.
And he was gone.
Wow.
So I walked down to the, we were all bawling, of course, and I walked down the hallway, and when I pushed open the doors to the waiting room, our pastor was standing there, and he's bawling.
Mm.
And because he was the one influential in getting us from Indiana, where the ministry originally was, to Texas.
Yeah.
And so he's standing there crying, and I started pelting him with questions. Why did God take my father-in-law? And, you know, brought us from Indiana, and now he took him. And my father-in-law looked at me, and he'd passed at 12:46, just after lunch. Well, I've got to be on the radio at 3 o'clock.
Wow.
And I looked at my pastor, and my pastor said, Dave, you got to get down there and get on the radio today. And I said, I just feel like I got kicked in the stomach by a mule.
Yeah,
there's no way. And he said, listen to me. No, wait. He said, you, Dave, have to get down there and get on the radio today. So it's like God was just kind of grabbed me by the nap of the neck and said, listen, boy,
that's right.
This thing's got to be carried on. So I went down there and got on the radio, and I got me a box of Kleenexes and sat there, and I said, folks, I don't even have a radio program for you today. I said, I'm just, you know, I've got to make the worst announcement I've ever had to make. My Urban Baxter passed away today, and immediately our phone lines went berserk.
Wow.
And they brought up the Gettner on our screen, which shows me all the callers coming in.
Wow.
And it was a full bank of callers. And so I said, you know what, I'm just going to take calls today.
Wow.
If Urban Baxter's affected your life in any way,
wow,
let me know. The first one was a missionary from South America.
Wow.
And he said, I followed Urban Baxter for years. My mission, I mean, he taught me so much. Everybody saw him as a prophecy teacher, but he was a great Bible teacher, period.
Amen, absolutely. That's right.
And so I had people from all over the world, missionaries, pastors, evangelists, saying how Urban Baxter had affected their ministry. I had one lady contact us, and she said, and they were all saying, don't stop, don't stop.
Amen.
You can't stop. We need this ministry. I had a lady contact me, and she said, I've never contacted your ministry once.
Mm.
But she said, I'm over 5,000 pastors globally in our organization.
Wow.
She said, and we all look to End Time Ministries for our prophecy voice. We don't listen to anybody else.
Amen.
And so she said, you can't stop this. I said, well, I'm not planning on stopping anything. I'm just trying to breathe right now.
That's right. You feel like you
and
got
because
kicked.
It was he passed away earlier that morning.
Wow.
And so for the rest of the week, that was on a Tuesday. For the rest of the week, I took calls. Our phones didn't stop.
Wow.
And so we took calls one right after another about how Urban Baxter had helped them, but they recognize you guys teach prophecy a little different than everybody else. We know what you're saying is true. We need this prophetic voice in these end times.
Amen.
And so our ministry never took a dip. We had our media buyers say, get ready, your ministry is going to drop 50, 60%, and all this is going to happen. None of that ever happened.
Man. Praise God.
And my brother-in-law tells me all the time, you guys are living an absolute miracle. And it's absolutely true. I'm living a miracle every day. Yeah. I got to pinch myself and say, am I dreaming here?
Amen. Yeah.
Because God has sustained this ministry, you guys, because it's time.
That's right.
That's right.
It's time for this right now. It's the end times. We're end time ministries. The program on your PTL network is the end time show.
Yeah. The end time show.
And we've got millions and millions of followers, and I'm so thankful because it's a God thing.
That's right.
I'm not smart enough to do all this stuff.
Yes.
But the fact is, with God, things are possible.
That's right.
And so I give God all the glory. I don't care if anybody ever knows my name.
Amen.
I want them to know his name.
That's right.
That's the difference.
Yes. Amen.
I'm glorifying him, not me.
Praise
and
God.
So Amen. At the end of the day, that's where we're all at.
Praise God.
So I'm very thankful for that. And that's the only way I had the courage to do it is that the Bible says God will give you peace that passes all understanding. I never understood that until I had to walk through some things that I absolutely could not grasp in my mind.
That's right.
I needed peace that passes all understanding, and God has truly given me that because I could have went berserk.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because a vast majority of my father-in-law's responsibilities, he had many large balls in the air.
Yes.
A vast majority of that responsibility fell right to me.
Yes.
And I thought, God, I don't know, how are we going to do this? And we had God speak to us one time, and he said, we had a tongues interpretation in one of our board meetings.
Praise
God spoke specifically to us and said, and that's one of the gifts of the Spirit. I mean, you guys all know about all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, God spoke directly to us, and he said, you've asked why I took, he said that you've asked, many of the children of Israel asked why I took Moses.
Mm.
And he said, I took Moses because I wanted him to be with me.
Amen.
And he said, now you've asked, why did I take Irvin? And he said, I took Irvin because I wanted him to be with me.
Wow.
Beautiful.
And he said, just like Moses followed the cloud out in the wilderness, and just like Irvin followed the cloud, you will need to follow the cloud.
Wow.
Well, I'll be honest with you guys. A lot of my relationship with the Lord went through my father-in-law. It really did. I looked to my father-in-law for direction.
Yeah.
We were following his lead. And so my prayer life was a certain way. But when my father-in-law passed, I had to look straight at God and say, okay, my father-in-law's gone. Now it's me and you, Lord.
Yes.
And I need direction straight from you. I've got to. The Bible says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God.
That's right.
If we think we're going to walk through these end times just ahead and not be Spirit-led individuals, we're fooling ourselves.
That's right.
And so I need to hear from God every day. I have a daily prayer life, and I need God. And God has talked to me and walked me through many situations. That's how we're going to make it through the end times, you guys.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful for that. God's certainly blessing us now.
Amen.
Reverend, what would you say to someone who is walking through in a situation in their life where they're saying, I'm finding it difficult to follow that cloud. I'm finding it difficult to stay faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ because so much has happened to me. I've experienced that essential kick to my gut.
Yeah. The thing is, the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good.
Amen.
To them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I don't care what the circumstances in life look like.
Amen.
If you will stick to the Word of God, you can't start wavering like a reed in the wind, okay?
That's right.
I'm sticking to the Word of God. I'm sticking right by those doctrines. I'm not going to move off the Word of God. We talked earlier, Ricky, about biblical illiteracy
in our
times right now, and you were telling me about how a lot of these millennials and things coming up that they don't even, what was you telling me?
They believe there are multiple ways to heaven.
Yeah, multiple ways to heaven. The fact of the matter is, you and I both know there's only one way.
Yes. That's right.
That's Jesus Christ. Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
So the thing is, if I stick to the things of the Word of God, the Word of God gives me many promises. All things work together for my good.
That's right.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
So I hold to those promises.
Yeah.
So I don't care what winds blow this way, because there's an enemy out there.
That's
He's building his kingdom. I'm not worried about him.
Amen.
I'm worried about building God's kingdom.
Amen.
The Bible says, take no thought what ye shall eat, drink, or wear. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All this stuff will be added unto you.
Yeah.
So I don't worry about the finances. I don't worry about all of the, is God going to be with us today? I know he's with me.
Yeah.
That's
he's
right.
speaking to me. He's with us. And I know that all things are working together for my good. Even if it looked like everything's going south, I know that all things are working together for my good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, he's got to take us back down to zero.
That's right.
So I've got to look at myself and say, okay, God, what are you doing here? Why is this situation in my life? Realizing that God's working with me all the way through, taking me through things to make me stronger, to help me, because he's preparing me for things that will happen in the future. I've had things happen in my life for a couple, two or three years, and I thought, why in the world? My father-in-law, before he passed, the last year or two, he dumped just so much responsibility on me. He's given me more programs to do and more television and writing more articles for the magazine. Damn. And just dumping workload and workload and workload on me. And I thought, man, why? I asked my wife, I said, I don't know if your dad likes me anymore. And I said, because he's given me so much work. Well, little did I know, right. God was preparing me for that he was going to pass.
That's right.
And so now I look back and I say, oh, God, thank you so much, because I understand God has never put, this is very important for all of us.
Yes.
God has never put me in a position or asked me to do something that he has not prepared equipped me for ahead of time.
That's right.
Never. Not
that's
one time.
Right. Amen.
I've never been on a radio or television interview where I didn't have the answers to the questions, not because I'm a Harvard graduate, but because God is with me and preparing it.
That's
and that's very important. So in walking through things in my life, if I run into a financial difficulty or anything like that, I know that God's with me all the way through.
He's sustaining
and so it's a great, he's sustaining me. It's a great encouragement to me. I watched all these miracles all my life, and I thought, man, that can happen for somebody who's spiritual. Yeah. Well, I realized that I'm a child of God, and those promises apply to me as well. And now that I've seen all that stuff play out in my life many times, I realize I'm not worried. A lot of people get shook up about the Antichrist and the world government. I do talk about that stuff, but I'm not worried about the Antichrist. He needs to be worried about me.
That's
amen.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly right, because I'm a Holy Ghost-filled
praise
man
God.
Of God.
Yes.
Praise that's God. That's the most important
amen.
Thing.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
You know, there's somebody out there, they may be saying, hey, I've hit rock bottom. I'm feeling around. I found out that rock bottom has a basement. You know, it feels like, oh, man, it just keeps going down. But I want to remind you, believer, you are secured in Jesus Christ. That means you are not fighting for victory. You are fighting from victory. The victory has already been won. It already belongs to you. We have been grafted in as sons and as daughters. All you have to do is accept the good gift that Jesus Christ gave us.
Amen.
You know, I truly believe that we're living in Revelation times.
Absolutely.
You can open up your front door,
yep.
look around your neighborhood, realize we're living in Revelation times. Open up any of your social media apps and realize, holy, we are living truly in Revelation times.
Yep.
But Reverend, I want to ask you a question. Why does it seem like a large majority of pastors are veering away from preaching the Revelation? And you know, I want to just throw a tidbit in there. I was with Pastor Jim while he took a phone call one time, and the church said, Pastor, we would love for you to come and preach at our church. We just have one request. Please don't preach the book of Revelation.
Yeah, yeah. Because I think it goes along with the end time prosperity message, the feel good message, and that nobody wants to be, because the apocalyptic message sometimes, now, a big difference in us is I don't teach end time revelation and the end time prophecies is fear.
Right.
That's right.
Because the church has a role in the end time, and it's great end time revival.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm into building the kingdom of God, winning souls, and I'm out there after it. So I don't worry about all the stuff that's coming.
That's right.
The fact of the matter is, though, is that I believe that there are churches today that want the feel good message. If I talk about, you know, because hell has become almost a dirty word in our churches.
That's right.
And the thing is, Jesus Christ taught and preached on hell more than any other preacher and teacher in the Bible. So the fact of the matter is, there are some apocalyptic things coming, but there are some churches that just want the feel-good. Hey, if God loves you, you'll have 10 cars in the garage and you'll have a big bank account. And if you have a right relationship with God, you know, everything's going to be peachy keen. That's simply not the way it is.
Someone forgot to tell Paul that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Actually, all the apostles.
Yeah, that's right.
And so the thing is that I'm teaching the Word of God. There are some apocalyptic events that are happening,
yes.
but I believe that those events are designed by God to facilitate the great end-time revival.
Amen.
When you see a World War III happen, when you see the Mark of the Beast and things like that, the Bible tells us, this is Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. The Bible tells us, actually 9 verse through verse 14, the Bible says that the greatest time of revival the world's ever seen will be during the time of the greatest world, the persecution the world's ever seen.
That's right.
The Bible says during the time of the Antichrist that John looks in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, and he said, I beheld a multitude no man could number out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation.
That's right.
And the elder looks at John and he says, who are these individuals that are standing before the Lord? They've washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
And John says, I don't know, thou knowest. And the elder says, these are they that came out of great tribulation.
Amen.
So in the end time, it's a mindset.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to build the kingdom of God. I'm having revival. That's what this thing's all about. But there are some churches that don't want to talk about that because they're afraid. Well, I'm going to run people off if I start scaring them.
Yes.
Well, if you're teaching prophecy to scare people, you're teaching it wrong.
Yes, that's right.
That's right.
I'm teaching prophecy. I'm building hope, faith, and love in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. All Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, then the end will come.
Then the end will
come. And so that's the role of the church. The church in the end time will not be a weak, anemic organization hiding in a foxhole.
Yeah.
Daniel 11, 32 and 33 said that during the time of the Antichrist, that they that do know that God will be strong and do exploits, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many. So when I get, and I'm looking at some of these churches that are afraid to teach this stuff, it's because they don't really understand the entire scope of what's happening in the end time. I'm going into churches about every weekend almost and holding prophecy conferences, and I'm leaving there signing up 50, 60, 70
yes.
Bible studies, and the churches are rolling because I'm not scaring them to death.
That's right.
I've been to some old prophecy conferences years ago where they would have like a nuclear bomb go off. This is the last sound you'll ever hear, and people almost knock the pews off getting to the altar. But the fact of the matter is that we don't teach in this fear. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind.
Right.
I can have a sound mind walking through the times just ahead, knowing that all things work together for good.
Amen.
For them to love the Lord and are called according to his purpose.
That's
Amen.
Right. If you're just tuning in, we have an exciting program with Reverend Dave Robbins here with us of End Times Ministry. Now I'm holding here something that I have on my desk that I absolutely love.
Yes.
This is your magazine. Can you tell us about this for someone who says, hey, I want to know more about End Time Ministries?
Yeah. So End Time Magazine, we started End Time Magazine back in 1991.
Amazing. Wow.
And my father-in-law started it with, obviously, God started it with the help of my father-in-law.
Amen.
And my father-in-law started publishing this way back then. And it's been a very influential periodical. It keeps you up to date on what's going on in the news every day. According to Bible prophecy, we use current events. This is what we do on our entire platform, radio, television, social networking. We use current events to show how prophecies written 2,000 to 2,500 years ago are coming to pass right now.
Amen.
And so the magazine is one of the first things. My father-in-law wrote a book in 86, which is what really launched End Time Ministries, but God wanted him to use a physical periodical. We send hundreds of thousands of these magazines into prisons that they can, and they're using these to preach from.
Amen.
Also, in 2005, when George W. Bush signed the Real ID Act, basically turning our driver's license into a national ID card, our partners helped us to subscribe all of Congress, the presidents, all the movers and shakers in the media, Sean Hannity, Tucker Carlson, Glenn Beck, they all get End Time Magazine, all of our Congress, all of the George W. Bush, Obama, Trump,
Amen.
And Joe Biden, they've all gotten this the whole time.
Wow.
Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer.
Praise God.
We've only had one person ever I've got signed books and letters back from them. I know they're reading it. But only one person ever has ever sent us a letter and said, don't ever send that magazine to me ever again. And that was Paul Ryan, the ex-Speaker of the House.
Wow.
Who was supposedly a Republican.
Wow. Yes.
But he was a rhino. Yep. And so at the end of the day, did we quit sending the magazine?
No.
No. That's right.
Because
that's
I'm a free American. Hey, I can do what I want.
That's right.
So anyway,
Praise
we
God.
Kept sending the magazine to him, and now he's off the scene. But the fact of the matter is, it's a very influential periodical. And we have great articles in here, and it keeps people up to date.
Yes.
And you can actually subscribe to this magazine. It's a bi-monthly magazine. It's $19 for an entire year.
That's incredible.
And you can do that by going to endtime.com. That's where everything comes from. And it's a very, very, to my knowledge, it's the most widely read prophecy periodical on the planet.
Amen.
Yep.
So we want you to go to endtime.com and see everything they have to offer. We fully support End Time Ministries. I want to continue to say that. The PTL Television Network, the Jim Baker Family Show, we stand strong with End Time Ministries.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Now, Reverend, I want to ask you, what can the church be doing to prepare for the last days, for the end times?
Yeah, so I know there are a lot of people that ask me that question, and they're looking for the physical answer.
Yes.
And there are some physical things that you probably can do for any type of catastrophe.
Right.
There are some things that ways you can prepare, and I know you guys know a lot about that.
Amen.
Because there are some physical catastrophes that are on the way. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, you hear of wars and rumors of wars, pestilence, which is a synonymous term for pandemic, by the way.
Yes.
So Jesus prophesied there's going to be pandemics. There's going to be famines. There's going to be all kinds of different stuff. And so there are some physical ways to prepare. But I quoted the scripture earlier. Jesus said, take no thought what ye shall eat, drink, or wear.
Yes.
Amen.
Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. So when I've taught Bible studies over the years, I tell people, in this Bible study, I'm going to prepare you mentally and physically for the times just ahead. Mm-hmm. Number one, knowledge.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. When the pandemic kicked off COVID,
right.
people wanted knowledge. What do we do? I'm going to social networking. What pills do I take? How do I get over this? What do I do to make it through? What the grocery stores? They wanted just, well, if you've got information that can help you, and that's understanding, in my opinion, understanding the prophecies of the Bible, because all of the major events that are going on in the world today are tied into prophecy in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. So if I understand Bible prophecy, then I'm way ahead of the curve, because what's going to happen is some of these major events, like a World War III, the Bible tells us a war is coming that's going to kill one-third of the world's population.
Absolutely.
I'm talking about 40 times the casualties of World War II, 40 times. Well, when that happens, it's going to hit so many people right in the face because it's going to come upon them and they have no clue about it.
Yes.
Even though it's being, World War III is being talked about more now in the news than any time in my lifetime. And so it's going to hit people right in the face. But if you understand Bible prophecy, then you can know, hey, this is coming. I need to move over here. Maybe I have to do this.
Right.
So there are some things physically you could do to prepare, maybe financially and different things. And we may talk about that in the future when we get a little closer. But number one, be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
When the Israelites were taken out of Egypt and they went into the wilderness, the absolute first thing that showed up was a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. God had to teach them, you're going to have to be Spirit-led. You're going to have to rely upon me.
Mm.
Now, he could have just dumped cartloads of, he could have had a bunch of U-Hauls sitting there with a bunch of food in it.
Right.
He didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you guys are going to have to rely upon me. So when they come and they needed something to drink or they needed some food, Moses had to go to God.
That's right.
We will never improve on that.
That's right.
When we're in the end times now, we've got to learn to be Spirit-led individuals. The apostles, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, the disciples, God, the Bible says, Jesus gave them power to go out and cast out demons and heal the sick and this, that, and the other. But then in Acts chapter 1, when he's going to ascend into heaven, he had already died, been buried, rose again, showed himself by many infallible proofs to 500 people at one time. There's no denying that Jesus Christ, in fact, did raise from the dead.
That's right.
But in Acts chapter 1, when he's getting ready to ascend into heaven, the disciples said, hey, will you at this time restore your kingdom? He said, nope, it's not for you guys to know. But then he says, don't go. You're not going to go on missionary journeys. He didn't say, go back out and preach. He said, you go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He knew that they would need that spiritual experience.
Yes.
When he is glorified, he goes into heaven.
Yeah.
And then he's going to come into them as a comforter in the form of the Holy Ghost. He knew that they would need that spiritual experience. So in my Bible studies that I've taught for years, I said, hey, there are some physical things you can do. And everybody, you can get that on a million websites.
Right.
But the spiritual experience, being led by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, this is what most people are missing, but this is what everyone needs.
That's right.
I need a daily walk with the Lord.
Amen.
And, you know, there have been people over the last several years where they've said, I've heard from God, a politician like Mike Pence or Mike Johnson or people like that. And all the media, just all those people are nuts.
Yeah.
They said they heard from God.
That's right.
In the end time, the people that make it through this with a sound mind are going to be the ones that are hearing from God.
Amen.
It's a total difference than the narrative that our media is spinning. And so that's what we need to do. We need to prepare maybe mentally and physically for the times just ahead, understand the prophecies. Mm-hmm. But number one, we've got to be Spirit-led individuals.
Amen.
It's of utmost importance.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
And friend, nothing can replace the intimacy with the Holy Spirit, the intimacy with Jesus Christ. Nothing can replace that. There is no worldly pleasure that can even compare. They all pale in comparison to the intimacy that you have with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, Reverend, I want to ask you, what are some of the things that we should be watching for as believers during these end times?
Sure. So there are, what would I say? Probably six major things we should be watching for right now. World War III. So in from the I'll give you the list and then I'll tell you why. So World War III, an Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, a two-state solution is coming.
Yes.
I can prove that scripturally. The world government being established, the United Nations will continue its walk towards forming a world governing body. World religion that's being set up.
Yes.
A lot of churches, even evangelical churches here in the United States, are being sucked up into this world religious system. That's something you cannot be a part of. Because they're telling people, hey, it doesn't matter really what you believe. We're all going to make it there some way, somehow. If you believe in 1,000 gods, that's okay.
Wow.
The Parliament of World Religions held this year, many people that sat on the board of that meeting were Wiccans, which are witches.
Yes.
And there were earth worshipers. There were all kinds of people there.
Mm.
And they're saying, hey, just come one, come all. Be part of this world religious system
that's
being established. Interfaithism, all this stuff.
Right.
But us as Christians, it may not be popular. But like we said before, there's only one way.
Yeah. Amen.
There's only one way, and that's it. And so we can't be pulled off of that in the face of all the immense pressure that's going to come. And I've had the pressures come against me as a leader of a ministry. I simply have said, No, I can't do that. Amen. I've got my foundation so deep in the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no way I could do that. And so, but the pastors today will feel those pressures. So, world war, Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement, world government, the world religious system, precursors to the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm. We may
talk about this maybe if we don't have time today on tomorrow's program, but central bank digital currencies. There are two efforts to number every single person on the planet.
That's right.
ID 40 by the World Bank, mm-hmm. ID 2020 by the United Nations. And so precursor to the mark of the beast. And then a final one is great end time revival. In the midst of all this chaos and apocalyptic stuff, I want the church to know we have a role here. I understand we may get into this too, the pre-post-trib thing. A lot of people think the church is going to be gone. So why even worry about all this stuff?
I believe that, yes.
But the fact of the matter is, I believe that I can prove the church will be here all the way to the end, even beyond the sixth vial of the wrath of God.
Wow.
The wrath of God is not, we're not appointed under the wrath of God, but the wrath of God is not poured out upon the church.
Praise
we're protected
God.
From that. And so everybody wants to know, well, why is the church here? What are we supposed to be doing? We're teaching and preaching the
That's
gospel
right.
of the kingdom
Amen.
Of God.
Amen.
We have a role in the end time.
Yes.
So those are the six things we should be watching. How do I know that the World War III and the peace agreement are next? Because from the Old Testament prophets to Revelation chapter 22, God gives us a timeline of events to follow. And if you look at all those timeline events, a vast majority of all the end time, the prophecies concerning the second coming, a vast majority of those are already passed. The next two on God's prophetic timeline is World War III, Revelation 9, verse 13 to 21, and the Israeli-Palestinian peace agreement mentioned in Daniel 9, 27. Mm-hmm. Those are the next two events to occur on God's prophetic timeline. Now, you guys tell me, you follow this stuff. In the news today, globally, what's the two main events that they're talking about every single day? They're talking about World War III,
right.
and they're talking about an Israeli-Palestinian two-state solution. Those are the next two things to occur on God's prophetic timeline.
Absolutely.
But people say, oh, we're not really in the end time. What?
Yeah.
Come on. What Bible are you reading?
That's right.
I mean, because we're in the end time, and we've got to reach people for the gospel of the
Amen.
Kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's the most important thing.
Yes.
So that's my job. That's your job. Yes. And I know you guys are doing that. I get it. But to a lot of churches out there, that's number 22 on their priority list.
That's right. That's right.
What in the world? You call it a church? You better be putting that number one,
Amen.
Because God's coming back for people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And
Amen.
If people don't know what it is, yikes.
Amen.
That's going to be a dicey, you know, I told my wife for years, I said, the rapture is going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And so I've got to have my face buried in that book you've got sitting there, Ricky.
That's right.
It's of utmost importance. And I've got to know what's coming and know the truth of all this. About Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Set you free.
What's the main thing?
Social,
these social networking sites and people over the internet and the international community, the main thing they're teaching is false narratives
That's
and
right.
agenda.
That's right.
Yep.
And Jesus said, hey, because, you know, the world government today is Satan's effort to build his physical kingdom here on the earth.
That's right.
Satan is the principal driver, Revelation 13, 1 through 3. The dragon, Satan, the Bible says he gives its entity, its seat, power, and great authority. Satan's the principal driver behind the end-time world government today.
Yes.
And so that's why there's so much false narratives and propaganda coming out of that. Everything coming out of the United Nations is propaganda, lies. Human-induced global warming, which leads to climate change, all this stuff.
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is, if I keep my head in the Word of God, that's what erases all this junk I'm hearing in the news, because the Bible has the answers to all of it.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Will the current Israel-Hamas and Iran conflict start World War III?
Okay. So that's a loaded question. The thing is that I say it could. Why do I say that? Now, the reason for your listeners, I know you guys got this, but for your listeners, and that's what these current magazines, May, June, and March, April is all about. It says the Green Horseman in World War III.
Amen.
If you look at what happened really quick, I know we may get into the four horsemen here in a little bit, but the fourth horseman to arise on the earth is the green spirit, the spirit of Islam. The horses represent spirits, and we'll get into that maybe, but the horses represent spirits. The spirit is Islam. It's a green spirit.
Hmm.
The last spirit on earth to rise before the rapture, before the Great Tribulation. The fourth seal is the green spirit, the green horse. The fifth seal is the Great Tribulation. The last spirit to arise is Islam. Okay.
Wow.
And I'll explain to you the four horsemen maybe here in a little bit or maybe on tomorrow's program. But when we look at the Islamic spirit in the year today, used to people were scared of socialism, communism. That's pretty much been done away with. When I was growing up, it was communism, the Cold War. Russia could push the button tonight. Right. That's kind of went away. Now, the thing that promotes fear in the earth and people understand the rising is the spirit of Islam.
Yes.
Just the other day, Doug Norvell, my co-host of my program, and myself, there was an Islamic protest right down in front of Raytheon, which is part of the military-industrial complex.
Yes.
They're supplying missiles. Okay, you guys get that. Well, these Palestinian protests are happening in front of all the Raytheon offices and different people to protest them sending and arming Israel.
Israel. Yeah.
Well, there was about 400 people standing there, waving Palestinian flags. But there were also some Orthodox Jews, because there are Jews on the earth today that do not believe in Zionism. Wow. They believe that those people are tricksters. Wow. They're fake people that are there, and they're not really the ones that God drew back after the Holocaust in 1948, which is miraculous. Mm-hmm. That's Ezekiel 37. Yes. Okay. So I said all that to set the stage to answer your question.
Amen.
When we get to what happened on October 7th, which you guys know that my wife and I had a tour group in Israel.
That's right.
We were stuck there. We started touring on October 6th. I was up on Masada when the bombs started going off. We had to come down and go straight back to our hotel. Well, October 7th happened because, and I've got articles, I can document all this. They say that October 7th, the main reason is because Iran, you have to understand the doctrine of Mahdiism. And this will lead to my answering your question, can it start World War III? The doctrine of Mahdiism is simply this. All of the three Abrahamic religions have a Messiah figure. Mm-hmm. We have Jesus Christ as Christians. The Jews have the Messiah, which eventually they'll realize is Jesus Christ when he plants his feet on the Mount of Olives in Zechariah chapter 12, 13, and 14. And then the Muslims have what they call the Mahdi.
That's right.
And he's the 12th imam. And they believe that he is actually alive. He's hiding somewhere in a well in Iran. And they believe that there's going to be an apocalyptic war in the future, and that when the Mahdi comes back, he will bring justice and peace to the earth. And their goal is to implement the Shia version of Sharia law globally. Okay. So they believe all this is going to happen. Well, they believe that, and that their Mahdi figure will establish a world governing body and implement all these Sharia laws.
Yes.
Well, they see the United States and Israel are standing in the way of doing that. Mm-hmm. So they believe that they're religiously bound to destroy Israel and destroy the United States. Death to Israel, little Satan.
Right.
Death to the United States, big Satan.
Right.
And so they believe that in destroying those two entities, that would speed up, quicken the coming of their Mahdi.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe they're religiously bound to destroy the United States and Israel to quicken the coming of their Mahdi. Imagine if we believed we were religiously bound to wipe out Cuba in order for the Messiah to come. Would we not be down there bombing Cuba right now? Well, now look at what's going on with Iran, who's the main propagator of this nonsense,
right.
I'll say. And they believe they're trying to wipe out Israel. Well, it's been a war of attrition for years. They've been going in against Israel and the United States. They've been going in, and it's a proxy war. They've got terrorist proxies. They've got Hezbollah in the north in Lebanon, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad in the West Bank and down in Gaza, Hamas in Gaza, the Houthis down in Yemen. And what they've been doing is every once in a while they would lob a couple rockets in. I've been in Israel before when Gaza lobbed a few rockets in. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
It just happened over time, five or six. No big deal. Sometimes they would come up and they'd come right back down on top of them
because right.
they don't have any way to aim them. They just send them. Well, that's happened over the years. Well, then why did October 7 happen, where it was the worst terrorist attack in Israel's history, and it was more Jews that were killed in one day since the Holocaust? Why did that happen? Why did it go from lobbing a few rockets to where they would invade on October 7th through air, land, and sea and come in and kill over 1,200 people, Jews and 30 Americans, And I'm talking about in the most horrific ways you can imagine. I won't talk about all that, but it's horrific.
Yeah.
And then why did they do that on October 7th? Well, I've got articles that say that you understand they cannot allow. They see that the United States is trying to establish a world government, and we're standing in the way of the coming of their Mahdi. So they believe that Israel is our footprint in the Middle East. That's a foothold.
Right.
Wow.
And that we want to expand on that. So that's why we're pushing the Abraham Accords.
Yes.
To get Israel to sign normalization agreements with, we did back in 2020, we signed it with United Arab Emirates and Bahrain and some right. other nations. But those are kind of more, I wouldn't say insignificant, but kind of insignificant compared to Saudi Arabia, which is the 800-pound gorilla in the living room.
That's right.
Well, so they did that, and Iran said, we don't like that, but it's not to the point where we've got to do something about it. Well, at the coming up towards the end of last year, Israel was getting ready to, there was a possibility of them signing a normalization agreement with Saudi Arabia. Well, if Saudi Arabia comes in on the Abraham Accords, Iran and everybody else knows that's going to bring most of the other Sunni Arab nations in with it. And so Iran couldn't let that happen. They can't let Israel get this giant foothold in normalized agreements. So that's one of the one reasons why I've got articles that say
absolutely.
The Saudi Arabia agreement was one of the reasons they had to do something to put that on ice.
Wow.
Also, the red heifers. I've got an article that said the Saudi Arabia normalization agreement and the red heifers. There was a guy, one of the leaders of Hamas, that actually said this because Israel brought red heifers there, and they see that as an affront to the Temple Mount, tearing down the Dome of the Rock.
So that was one of the reasons that October 7th happened was because of the red heifers.
Yeah, I've got articles that one of the Hamas members said that's one of the reasons we did it.
Wow.
And so that's why they went from just lobbing a few rockets in here and there to the point where they would come and invade, take 240-some hostages, kill 1,200 and some people. It was horrific. And so that's why Netanyahu said, hey, we got to go into Gaza, and of course you're still fighting that.
That's right.
But that's what's the dynamic that's going on here. Well, to go back to your question, could this start World War III? The Bible says, Revelation 9, verse 13 through 21, I'll go 13 through 16. Loose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. This is the sixth trumpet war. Loose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates, four to kill a third part of all of mankind. And I heard the number of the army of the horsemen, and it was 200 million soldiers. So the three things we know from those verses, the World War III, I understand Russia, Ukraine. I get it. It's a geopolitical situation.
Right.
I understand Russia and China. That's a geopolitical situation.
Right.
This is a religious war.
Yes.
And so when we go back here, Revelation 9, verse 13 to 21, I know that World War III is going to emanate from the Euphrates River region, which is housed in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. And then, so when we look at the situation here, we look at Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran, all four of those are involved in this conflict in one way or another. Because when October 7th, Iran immediately with their proxy started bombing United States military installations in Syria and Iraq.
Middle East.
Why'd they do that? Because this is all tied together. And so I know the war is going to emanate from the Euphrates River region, that one-third of the world's population is going to die, and that there's a 200 million-man army that's going to participate in this. Well, I'm sitting there looking at World War III, and then this kicks off.
Yeah.
Well, I know Iran is the head of the snake.
That's right.
Israel could wipe out every member of Hamas on the planet, abracadabra, and this is not going to go away. Until they do something with the head of the snake, Iran,
right?
They still have all these other terrorist proxies. Iran's the number one state terrorist proxy, the terrorist sponsor on the planet.
That's right. They're absolutely
so
right.
Until they do something with Iran, this is not going to go away. So what I'm saying is this thing that's happening now could lead to
a World War III.
There's a great possibility it could lead to the eventual World War III if it hasn't already begun.
You know, you said something. You said October 7th, one of the reasons it happened was because of the red heifer. Now, I know that you actually have firsthand information and update on the red heifers.
Yes.
Could you share that with our audience today?
Yeah, absolutely. So for those of them that don't have a clue what the red heifer is all about.
Yes.
Numbers 19, the Lord give them instructions that in order for Israel to be able to do the rituals in the tabernacle, the temples, and different things, that Israel would need to be purified. Any Jewish individual who was had been in contact with a dead body, whether they walked by a graveyard, whether they've been to a hospital, whatever, they or been to a funeral, they would need to be purified. They couldn't do those rituals. So to purify them, I won't take time to go through all of it because there's hyssop and all this other worm and all this other stuff. But anyway, the main thing was they had to kill a red heifer in the third year without blemish and that had never had a yoke put on her neck. And they would need to kill her, mix the ashes with water, put it back then they had to put it around the camps on the tents, administer it to the people. And so they know that they need a red heifer to implement the sacrifices in the temple and for the atonement for sin. Okay, now jump forward, close to 4,000 years, and here we are in 2024. Israel wants to build her third temple. There will be a third temple built in the future.
That's right.
When John in Revelation, he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2.
Yeah.
The Bible says, John, measure the temple, but don't measure the outer court, because it will be trodden down to the Gentiles for 42 months. The temple that he's meant, that God gives him a vision of there, is not the second temple, because the second temple was had already been destroyed in 70 A.D.
Yes.
Before John went out on the Isle of Patmos. So now he's in 95, 96 A.D., writing the book of Revelation, and God gives him a vision of a temple. So there's going to be a third temple rebuilt in the future. And we know that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's other places that tell us there's going to be a temple rebuilt. Well, we know that when Israel came back together, they after Jesus Christ was crucified and ascends into heaven, Jerusalem's destroyed, the Jews get scattered all over the earth. But Ezekiel chapter 37 is a prophecy of them coming, being drawn back together. Ezekiel's boneyard. That's a prophecy of the nation of Israel being drawn back. Well, that happened. Now we have Israel, but they all, well, I shouldn't say, the religious ones believe that a third temple will be built. Many of them, not all of them. Some of them have different belief systems, and there's actually many Jews that are atheists over there, believe it or not.
Right. Hmm.
But there are some, what they call extremists, that believe in the Word of God and say, hey, we know there's going to be a third temple rebuilt. We need to do this for atonement for sin. So they're pushing, pushing, pushing. Well, when we go back to the red heifer, they know that they have to have a red heifer in order to purify Israel to resume the sacrifice. So they've been, since 1948, when Israel came back together, they haven't had one in over 2,000 years, a red heifer. So in 1948, when Israel came back together as a nation, they believe God gave them the land to rebuild a third temple. And especially, so they've been looking for a red heifer ever since. In 1967, the Six Days War, when God helped them to conquer East Jerusalem, which is where the Temple Mount's located, and the Jordan Valley, they said, hey, the Temple Mount's in our hands. They were ready to build the third temple at that point. There was one rabbi, his name was Shlomo Gorin. He went to General Uzi. They were standing right outside the Temple Mount, and he said, hey, God's given this into our hands. We can build the third temple. Let's go up and destroy the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is what they should have done. God told them, when you go into the land, you tear down their high places.
That's right.
You possess the land.
Yeah.
That's what they should have done, but they didn't do it. And General Uzi said, no, be quiet, Rabbi. And the rabbi said, look, I've got dynamite in my satchel.
Yes.
Let's go up and blow it up. There's a big plaque right there going up to the Temple Mount talking about all this. And General Uzi said, you be quiet, Rabbi, or I'll take you to jail.
Wow.
Because they feared the wrath of the international community at that point. So God had given the Temple Mount into their hands, and they turn right around and give it to the Muslim Waqf, the WAQF. Well, that's the current status quo right now. The Israeli soldiers that you see up there with machine guns, those are Israeli. But everybody else it's controlled by the Muslims.
Hmm.
So that's the dynamic going on right now. We're fixing to start Ramadan. There's all kinds of stuff
that's
going on. Well, anyway, the red heifer. When Israel has been trying to get a red heifer since they came back together as a nation. They have a special ranch over there that they were working with ranchers around the world trying to get a red heifer to get it up to the third year with no blemish. Even a tag in its ear when it's first born, that's a blemish. It's not doable. So I'm personal friends with a guy named Byron Stinson who is over the finding the red heifers here in Texas. The people in Israel had tried to find one for years. They couldn't. And one might be born, but they couldn't get it up into the third year. It developed white or black hairs. It's got to be completely red.
Right.
Byron Stinson did several cleanup projects and different things for the Jews over there. He did a $3 million cleanup project in the Kidron Valley which is the big valley between the Mount of Olives and the Temple Mount.
Right.
He cleaned all it up. $3 million. I mean, it was a huge project. Well, anyway, they asked him. They said, hey, you know, he's working with the rabbis at the Temple Institute. They said, hey, you're from Texas, the land of cattle.
That's right.
You think you could get us a true red heifer? Because they believe to build, they know they're going to build the third temple. But they know that they need a red heifer because of Numbers 19 in order to purify Israel to be able to start those sacrifices. So they're believing all the time that they're going to get this red heifer. Well, they said to Byron Stinson, who's from right down there by End Time Ministries in Texas, we're just north of Dallas there. They said, can you, you're from the land of cattle, Texas, get us a, can you find us a red heifer? He goes, I don't know anything about cattle. He said, I'm a builder and I do different things. And they said, well, could you ask? And he said, yeah, I'll ask around. So he came back on and just started sending out physical flyers. We're looking for a true red heifer to build the third temple. Does your ranch have red heifers? Well, some of them over time said, yeah, we've got some red heifers. Well, they would send some rabbis from Dallas out to look, and they didn't. They inspect every hair and make sure it doesn't have a blemish, like it's not got a wounded leg or whatever. And so they couldn't find any. Well, there was a guy named Ty Davenport that contacted Byron and said, I've got red heifers. Well, Byron went out there. This is in Rockwall, Texas. Byron went out there. How are we doing on time, you guys?
Good,
okay. Byron went out there, and Ty Davenport, he had some, looked like true red heifers. But Ty Davenport had put red, the little yellow tags in her ear. By law, by the
agricultural,
agricultural stuff, you got to put this little yellow tag when they're first born.
Yes.
So Byron said, oh, Ty, he said, all these have blemishes. And Ty said, look, and I went out to his land, the ranch, but he said, look, I'm having these things born every day. He's got a giant ranch out there. He said, let's just drive down through here and see what we can find. I kid you not, this is an absolute true story. They drove down through there, and a calf had just been born. The mother had shoved it up in under some bushes, but they saw it. They went and looked at it, and Byron said, I kid you not, I couldn't find any white or black hairs on it.
Wow.
Now, it had to be checked by the rabbis, but he said, I found a true red heifer out on Ty Davenport's. So they ended up getting 21 of them.
Wow.
I've got pictures on my phone. I went out there. I said, I've got to see this. It's 20, 25 minutes from my studios in Dallas.
Wow.
Drove out there. Met Ty. I met the rabbis out there, Rabbi Mamo and all those guys. I met all them, and they were doing blood tests and everything because they're like, we're taking these to Israel. These are the first we've ever found, 21 of them. Well, Israel would only allow them to take 5 in as pets because they've got to go through Europe and down into Tel Aviv. So they allowed them to bring 5 of the 21 in as pets, and they're in Israel today. They're up in ancient Shiloh, up in the West Bank. They're around. They're on a protected ranch. Well, anyway, so Byron told me and they were getting up in age. They got to get into the third year. It's 2 years and 3 months, at least that old. Because in your first year, that's in, like if you're 6 months old, you're in the first year. The second year really is 1 to 2. And then, so 2 years and 3 months, you're into the third year. So they were. They wondered if any of these would get up to, because they've never been able to get one up to age.
The third year.
Well, now they have 4 of them up to age, and I talked to Byron. Talked to Byron Stinson. Today's Thursday, so I texted him a couple nights ago, and I said, "Hey, I'm going to be on Jim Baker's program on Thursday. Give me an update. Are you guys still going to sacrifice them?" Well, he called me. He said, "I got to give you the inside scoop here because I know you're going up there, and they got a vast audience. I want them all to hear about it firsthand." And so he said that they are planning on doing it on Passover this year. The problem is because of all the violence and that's going on in the West Bank, even though they've got Ramadan happening, they've got Gaza, there's been a 350% increase in violence in the West Bank.
Wow.
He said that the Israeli government is not wanting to give them a permit to do the sacrifice right now.
Wow.
He said, so we're believing on God to open the door to do that.
Wow.
I found out talking to him that the sacrificial altar is already built. They showed a picture of the sacrificial altar that's already built.
Wow.
They've already got the property purchased up on the Mount of Olives to sacrifice this thing. And all they're waiting is for a permit to do it.
Wow.
And they're going to sacrifice it. That's the absolute latest news on the red heifer that you're going to find. I talked to Byron Simpson 2 days ago.
Amen.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if you have not watched the program in its entirety, please go back to the beginning. You want to watch this program in its fullness. We have Reverend Dave Robbins here with us today. Sure. It's really an honor to have you here in our studios.
Thank you.
You also have End Time Magazine, End Time TV, End Time Podcast, Radio. I mean, you guys, I don't think you guys sleep, do you? You can't.
Not very much.
you can't with this. Yes. So if people want to know more information, they want to purchase these DVDs, how can they go and ensure that they get all the information from your websites?
Yeah, so just go to endtime.com. There's a store there.
Perfect.
Everything's in the store. You can subscribe to the magazine.
Right
you
here.
Can purchase all the DVDs that we have. You can also do End Time Plus. We talked about being censored and demonetized.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. We've been demonetized forever on YouTube now.
Wow.
Yes.
And so what we did, we started End Time Plus.
Okay.
You can go to End Time Ministries, endtime.com, and check that out. And it's End Time, no S, just endtime.com. And you can subscribe. Our End Time Plus is all access. Mm-hmm. Everything
Amen.
We have, even
awesome.
All the censored material,
yeah.
it's
all
on there for everybody to do. We've got thousands of people subscribed to that. And right now, I think it's like $6 for a month.
That's wow.
Incredible.
And you can go check it out. It's all access. And so go check it out. Everything's available at endtime.com.
That's right. You can go to endtime.com, check all this out. We
that's
love
right.
partnering with other ministries.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And I want to remind you, as you just said, Ricky, we have partnered with End Time Ministry to bring the teachings, the DVDs, the books that are available. And so you can do that by joining our affiliate site. All you have to do is just go to jimbakershow.com, click on End Time affiliate site. You'll click there and he will give you access to the DVDs. There's an incredible bundle right now offering while Reverend Dave Robbins is on the show. Get Claire Prophecy Bundle, where you receive three different DVDs, the Antichrist Socialistic Kingdom DVD, one of the Two Witness DVD, and one Warn the Jews DVD set. All of that is available right now when you go to jimbakershow.com and click on the affiliate site with End Time Ministry, and you can order your product today. You can also call our toll-free number here. That's 1-888-988-1588, and we will help you to process that order. But remember, End Time Ministry is shipping you the product directly
yes.
to your homes.
Yes.
You know, we have something exciting. You're going to have to watch day two with Reverend Dave Robbins. Why? Because we have Irvin's Last Words, a DVD that we're going to talk about on the next program.
Yes.
This is something you are not going to want to miss. We worked out something so we could have this on the affiliate site just for you, the partners here at the PTL Television Network and the partners of End Time Ministries.
Yes.
We want to thank you guys for watching. I want you to remember this. Through all the craziness the world has to offer, God loves you. He
Amen.
Really does.
Amen.
Bye-bye for today.